Our sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. Genesis 17, 1 through 14. Now hear the word of the Lord. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Yahweh, and we call upon your name. We seek your face and your strength, for we are your chosen ones. Remember your covenant forever, the word which you commanded for thousands of generations, the covenant which you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We pray, O Lord, you'd give us our inheritance. Permit no one to do us wrong. Rebuke kings for our sakes. Put the fear of us on our enemies. Give us the lands that we might inherit the labor of the nations, that they might observe your statutes and keep your law. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, you can count this morning how many times I say Jesus and how many times I say the word covenant. Covenant. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear this morning from God's word part of the Abraham narrative in Genesis. Genesis 17 concerns the Lord giving Abram the new name, Abraham, and giving him and his house the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. Now, this was not the first time Yahweh had come to Abram. In chapter 12, Yahweh called Abram to leave the land, to go to a new land. In chapter 15, God promised Abram a son and all the nations. Now, the Abraham narrative is an integral part of God's global plan for his kingdom. Now, this plan didn't start with Abraham, but Abraham is called a father of many, or a father of many nations. But when we think about the Great Commission, which we've already heard this morning, we think about the Great Commission to all nations, we have to remember Abraham. Because he is the father of many nations. Now that might seem counterintuitive. Abraham's circumcision, Great Commission to the Gentile nations. We just heard from Genesis 17, the sign of circumcision to Abraham and his house. Circumcision was Yahweh's covenant sign to the nation of Israel. Circumcision wasn't a Gentile sign, yet we hear this morning it has Gentile implications. As for me, the Lord says, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Circumcision to Abraham, to Abram, unto all the nations. Now, from the beginning, God has always had the whole world in mind for his kingdom. He gave Adam and Eve dominion over the whole earth in Genesis 1. The punishment for Adam's sin was on all humanity. And from the beginning, there was not a distinct nation to which Yahweh came in his grace. After the flood, God commissioned Noah and his house to fill the whole world, not to be a distinct nation. At Babel, God cursed humanity with the confusion of tongues, and the people spread throughout the whole world, not just one nation. It was after Babel that Yahweh shifted his focus to one nation apart from all the others. He chose one nation to serve him in ministering to all the other nations. And that one distinct nation would come from Abram. We hear in Genesis 12. Now Yahweh said to Abram, go out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram, you will go and you will be one nation, and you will have a land, a new people and a new land. And when Yahweh gave Abram the sign of circumcision, it showed that Abram's family, his nation, would be set apart. When Yahweh gave Abram the new name, it reflected the global implications for God's covenant of grace. One nation was set apart to serve all the other nations, because all the other nations were still part of God's global kingdom plan. The sign of circumcision, it was a sign of separation, a split between Abraham's family, tribe, and nation from all the others. You will be distinct. It was a sign of cutting. It was a sign of division. And it was Yahweh's covenant sign to his people. He commanded Abram, circumcise yourself. Old man, go and circumcise yourself. And circumcise all the males in your house, the direct descendants, and any male servants you have in your house. Because that house belongs to God. God made his covenant with that house. Now, why circumcision? In the ancient world, circumcision was a sign. It was a sign of fertility given to young men before marriage. A young man, before his wedding, would be circumcised, and that symbolized that that young man was ready for procreation. It was the symbolic removal of an obstacle unto fertility. It was the removal of an obstacle unto life. Now, other tribes, other nations did practice circumcision. It was not Israel specific. What was Israel specific was who received circumcision. Yahweh commanded all the male babies to be circumcised, and to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now, at that time, this was a remarkable application. Previously, young men about to get married, this was a sign of fertility. You are able to beget life. Israel, eight-day-old babies. Now, bearing the sign of circumcision were all those males in covenant with the Lord. This was a sign of grace. In response to that gracious reality was the responsibility to be faithful. You belong to God Almighty. And failure to circumcise was breaking covenant, and it was deserving of death. We see this in the example of Moses. His uncircumcised son almost brought death from Yahweh. But this covenant sign was a gracious reality. It meant that Yahweh made a covenant with you and your family. To Abram, it meant you will be a blessing. You will be blessed, and you will bless others. In response, believe God. Respond by faith. Believe his promises. And if you believe his promises, he will count it to you as righteousness. That was Abram's responsibility. Count the stars, Abram. So shall your descendants be. Abram believed. He is our father in the faith. So you have grace. Receive the sign. You belong to God. Grace. And in response, believe God. Abram, give your sign to your whole house. In your response, you look at the inside cover of your liturgy. You have Genesis 18, 19. Concerning Abraham, Yahweh said, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Yahweh, to do righteousness and justice, that Yahweh may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Abram, grace. Here's the sign of grace. Now, teach your children. Grace, teach. Sign of the covenant, teach. Does that pattern sound familiar to you? Here's the sign of the covenant. Now teach. Abraham, circumcise and teach your house to keep the way of Yahweh. Teach those who bear the sign. Now, circumcision was the sign that the individual and family was in covenant. Abraham and his household belonged to Yahweh. And circumcision, again, was that sign of the need to remove the blockage to beget life. But again, how does an eight-day-old baby beget life? We can see a young man getting ready for his wedding, remove the blockage to beget life. But how does an eight-day-old baby beget life? How can an eight-day-old baby receive the sign? It's because the Lord will remove the blockage. The Lord will give the life. An eight-day-old baby can't beget life. The Lord will bring the life. Because circumcision was a bloody rite, the Lord gave the sign after Abram tried to bring about the promises himself with Hagar. No, Abram. The Lord will do it. He will give life. And the Lord will remove that blockage with the last once-for-all bloody sacrifice. Boys and girls, what is the blockage to life? What separates us from God? Sin. Sin is the blockage unto life. Sin is unto death. The wages of sin is death. So what separates us from God? Sin. So what bloody sacrifice is going to remove the blockage that separates us from God? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin stands in the way of the rightful enjoyment of union and communion with God. Sin separates us from God. It separates us from one another. Sin is death. We all experience sin and death in our lives and in our relationships. And blood has to be shed to restore that. What restores union and communion with God is the circumcision of Jesus Christ. It's the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ that restores union and communion with God and with his people. The circumcision of Jesus Christ, not his circumcision on the eighth day. It was the offering of the bloody sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The death of Christ on the cross removed the blockage of sin, and it reconciled us to God. Jesus restores union and communion with God and his people. And the sign of circumcision given to Abraham, given to his house, pointed forward to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why circumcision is no longer necessary for us. It's because Jesus offered the once-for-all sacrifice. Gentiles coming into the covenant of grace didn't need to do it. They were grafted in into the cross of Jesus Christ. The Judaizers didn't need to require it of new Christians. One can still do it, but it's no longer the covenant sign. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the blood of circumcision cannot cover sin. Only the blood of Jesus covers sin. And that is why, as you heard earlier from Colossians 2, Paul references the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. In your assurance of pardon, Colossians 2:11, in him, that is Jesus, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The circumcision of Jesus on the cross was the removal of blockage, putting off the body of flesh. His death on the cross restored us to the Father. God and sinners reconciled. And the Apostle Paul attributes this reality to the Colossian church. You, church, have been circumcised with Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, when he was circumcised on the cross, you were circumcised with him. You died on the cross with him. And you're united to him purely by grace. And that is why Paul also elsewhere says, Philippians 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision, church, we who worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. We are the true circumcision. Because circumcision points not to the flesh. It was applied to the flesh, but circumcision was always circumcision of the heart. Circumcision points us to Jesus. If you don't believe Jesus, if you don't follow Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you don't keep his commandments, your circumcision profits you nothing. If you have fleshly pride in the covenant, you are missing the point. Don't cling to your circumcision. Walk before the Lord and be blameless. Circumcise your heart, Israel, the prophet said. Those in Israel who were faithless, they did trust in the flesh. They said, we have father Abraham as our father. We have the law. We have the circumcision. We put our confidence in those. And they didn't seek the Lord by faith. And their rejection of the grace was an indictment on the whole nation. When Jesus came, he didn't call the people to cling to their circumcision. That's done. Cling to Jesus. Circumcision points to Jesus. Don't miss the point. Now, in the new covenant, the Lord has instituted a new covenant sign, and that is the sign of baptism. Similarly, baptism was practiced before the giving of the Great Commission. Of course, John baptized. But another practice was called proselyte baptism, where the whole family converted to the Jewish faith. And guess what? The whole family was baptized. You and your household received the sign. Now, baptism pointed to cleansing. Baptism pointed to washing, newness of life. But baptism is also a marking. It's covenant identity in Christ. And it's covenant identity in his death and resurrection. The Lord has used water to bring judgment in history. Boys and girls, can you think of a time when God used water to judge? God judged the first creation in the flood. He brought water. God judged Egypt in the Red Sea. The apostles, of course, call both of these events baptisms. It's the pouring out of judgment. And Jesus was consistent in his connection of the judgment he would receive by calling it a baptism. When the disciples wanted to sit on Jesus' right and his left, Jesus asked them, "Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism I am about to receive?" And before his suffering and death, he says, "I have a baptism to undergo. How distressed I am until it's accomplished." He wasn't referring to John's baptism when he said that. He was talking about his death on the cross. "I'm about to be baptized," Jesus said. So Jesus called his death a baptism. His receiving of our judgment that was poured out upon him, Jesus says that was a baptism. That's why Paul wrote, in our union with Jesus Christ, we've been baptized with him. We've been baptized into his death, specifically his death on the cross. Before our confession of sin, we heard from Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. And on the bottom of the page, we were buried with him in baptism, in which also we were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Amen. So we hear, brothers and sisters, that Jesus' death on the cross was both a circumcision and a baptism. Jesus' death was both a circumcision and a baptism. So going back to Abraham, when Jesus commissioned his disciples to disciple the nations, it was in fulfillment of the very first Abrahamic promise. God's kingdom extended to all nations. The disciples of Jesus Christ fulfilling that promise in discipling nations. The church, we go forth to make disciples, fulfilling the promise of descendants to Abraham. But with the coming of the new covenant, the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile is torn down. No more circumcision. Circumcision doesn't point to those set apart as the nation to serve others. That bloody rite is no longer necessary. Jew and Gentile alike both have access to God. The royal priesthood, that royal nation, are now the Jews and Gentiles who've been grafted into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are the holy nation. Yes, circumcision was given by grace, because what can an 8-day-old baby do? Receive the sign. And now respond. You've received the sign. Now respond. Live by faith. Walk before the Lord and be blameless. And that sign pointed forward to the death of Jesus Christ. Father Abraham, teach your household the ways of the Lord. Abraham, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. New covenant sign, baptism points to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It points backward to his death, but it also points forward to Christ's return. It is to be received by faith. You don't have to do anything to receive grace. But if you don't receive it by faith, if you reject the promises of God, baptism doesn't save. At the final judgment, those who've rejected the promises of God, we will not pass through unharmed. Isaac passed through unharmed today. You saw it with your eyes. The waters did not put him to death. He passed through. But if Isaac rejects God's promises, he breaks covenant. His flesh, as a hope, won't save him. He has no hope in being a hope. He must respond by faith. Joseph and Joy, all the parents of covenant children, you are responsible to teach your children about the promises of God. You are responsible to teach your children to do righteousness, to do justice. Joseph and Joy, they've made these promises before God this day. So love them and support them in this. But we are all the baptized family of God. We all bear the sign. We are in covenant with the Lord. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. It's all of grace. How do you respond to undeserved favor? By faith. Isaac, respond by faith. Church, take hold of the promises of God. Remember your baptism today. Remember that your old self was crucified with Jesus Christ on the cross. You were circumcised with Jesus. You were put to death with Jesus. You were raised to new life with Jesus. So walk before the Lord and keep covenant with him, because you can do it. You can obey. And we as a church, we will continue to make disciples as the church until all the nations are discipled. Galatians 3. Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And you are heirs according to the promise. How do we disciple? We baptize and teach. So remember your baptisms. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for the waters of baptism. We thank you that you have bestowed your grace upon your servants. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. And by it we share in his resurrection and are reborn by the Holy Spirit. We are raised to the new life of grace. Sustain us, O Lord, in your Spirit. Give us inquiring and discerning hearts. Give us the courage to will and to persevere. A spirit to know and to love you. And a gift of joy and wonder in all your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.